And then right before my competition, there was a chiropractor there. And so he adjusted me and he made me feel like, you know, kind of better. He told me there was no injury. It was just tight. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, it went well after that. But my neck hurt so bad the competition. Like, it hurt to move.
Oh, I'm sure the next day it was worse.
Yes, it was worse.
You were like this, though, at least for the first match.
Yes, but the adrenaline was, like, life-changing. I only did one. I plan to do more. It's just so many things to do in
life.
You're
training in the gi, too?
Yes, not as much because of my work schedule.
Oh, it just doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, we are on live. Yes, we are. Welcome to Elevate Today podcast. Today, I am with Laura Lipman. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And is this your very first podcast?
It is.
Wow.
I'm honored.
It's an honor to have you. You have actually been suggested to come on often, like multiple times. Like Mason Fowler, the jiu-jitsu guy, suggested you come on. Like, I was talking to Coach Murph, just like, who are some females that are just empowering? And he was super stoked when I told him you were coming on. I think he was one that suggested it too, and a few other girls at the gym. So
Thank you
are very, like, well-known and iconic in the jiu-jitsu community, especially for the women. So my question for you to start off is, how did you get into jiu-jitsu?
Well, thank you, first of all, because I don't see myself as iconic, but I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Well, I've always actually been a huge martial arts fan growing up, and then MMA fan. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of friends that fought professionally. Josh Thompson, who you know, who I was inspired by. And I originally started striking. Mm-hmm. And I was training with Stephen Solomon from Scrap Pack Marina, and he had just gotten his black belt and started his jiu-jitsu program, and he'd always just say, just stay, come on, roll with us. I'm like, I'm not staying and rolling with all you guys. And then he had a client that was doing one-on-ones and was bringing his girlfriend, and they were first-timers, and he's like, there's a girl coming, she has never trained either, who actually I'm really good friends with still. And so I was like, okay, I'll do that.
Dang.
And then we trained, and basically I was honestly hooked after the first time.
After the first time?
Yeah.
And how did it feel different from boxing? Did you stop boxing after that?
No, I was still striking and kickboxing for a little while after that, but, you know, the jiu-jitsu addiction kicked in, and basically it took all my time.
So you go, like, every day?
I train 6 days a week. Wow. 2.5-ish hours a day. Sometimes that's strength and conditioning or heavy lifting and jiu-jitsu. Sometimes it's, you know, two classes of jiu-jitsu, but I do that every day.
You've been doing
I'm sorry, 6 days a week.
Oh my gosh, you've been doing that for like 4 years now?
For 4 years.
That's insane.
I know. And I work a full-time job, so.
Wow.
My day starts at 7:30 in the morning, and then I get home probably at 9:30 at night. Mm-hmm. I do it all over.
It's so interesting because I feel the same way with, like, when I started, I was like, why am I addicted to this? Why do I feel like safe and that this is my little sweet escape? What do you think it is that made you stick with something to give it that much time?
Safe and vulnerable and humbled, all these things.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's the progress, seeing yourself progress. I mean, I remember going in there, and I think back to my white belt days, and I was just like laughing every round and rolling around, and mm-hmm. then all of a sudden I was actually, technique was kicking in, and I was hitting moves and mm-hmm. you know, studying and learning, and I think it just, I said, it's addicting, it's humbling, it's spiritual kind of, in a way. I know that sounds kind of weird, but you just leave there, or I leave there, and feel rejuvenated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, like, because if you really think about it, and the way it looks, like, jiu-jitsu looks extremely intimidating and awkward.
Very.
And uncomfortable and exhausting. And that's how it looks on the outside. But once you're in it, it's like a metaphor, you know? It's like everything you need in life to be reminded of. Like, you need to work hard. You need to be committed. You need to be uncomfortable, to be humbled, mm-hmm. to be uplifted once things are applied. Like, it put so much into your day-to-day life where you feel like you can apply those same principles to work, to family, to relationships.
Very parallel.
Yes. Do you think that jiu-jitsu community is different than like boxing or different kind of gym communities?
I mean, I felt a difference. I don't know if it's because I'm a woman and the feeling of empowerment. You know, I was always pretty confident. I was always athletic and strong. But you just walk with your shoulders back just a little bit more when you're walking down the street. Yes,
that is so true.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I started jiu-jitsu, like, it was weird because right before I was just, I need to get a new circle. I need to have different friends because I was just really going through it. But the jiu-jitsu community, it's well, when I went, there was no girls. My very first class, there was no girls.
Yeah.
But when there are girls, it's like, we have to be close.
Yeah.
Like, you bond in a deep way. You're really close to each other physically. And so you just kind of start to connect these deeper bonds where, to me, jiu-jitsu is like a little family, like a little cult.
It is.
You're in it, you have, what's your favorite move? What's your favorite submission? Like, where do you go? And then all of a sudden, you know the same people. Just like, you know, the gal from Ant Dogs that we both know, Daisy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. It really is. Gilroy, Morgan Hill, San Jose, they all are connected and they all know each other.
Yeah, especially, I mean, Northern California has a pretty good, solid jiu-jitsu community with a lot of good athletes. I mean, Mason Fowler being one of them. Kind of like San Diego. But I think if you went to other places, like out there, you might not get the same feeling just because mm-hmm. there's not as many gyms and yeah. there's probably way less women. So we need to get more women into the sport. We're probably still just 1% of the sport, even as fast Jeez. As it's growing. Yeah.
Yeah. So. That's why I feel like you're so iconic for that reason, because in the jiu-jitsu community, in order to be a woman that joins these predominantly men-filled classes, you have to be kind of tough. You have to be tough. You have to have edge. You have to not be like intimidated or scared. Like, that can't be a thing. So as like coming in as a female, you know, you want to like maybe talk about like, oh my gosh, you know, get excited, get goofy, but it's such a environment.
Yeah.
But like when I met you, I immediately felt like that family feeling, that like safe, that comforting feeling of like, oh yeah, I belong here. I'm not an odd man out. Like, this is my element because of how you display it. You know, it's your art.
Well, thank you. I also think being an older woman athlete in jiu-jitsu, I want to take care of the girls, especially the ones just starting, because it can be scary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes people aren't nice. It's, you know, I just want to let them know that we're all there for each other and we're there to support each other mm-hmm. and help each other, whether it's on or off the mat. So,
mm-hmm. That's really cool. And you're close with like all of your jiu-jitsu friends?
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of women at the gym, and I would say we're all definitely pretty close. And I'm always very vigilant on the women coming in and, you know, trying jiu-jitsu. I'm like, come on, let me take you under my wing. Let me mm-hmm. make sure that you feel safe, because that's the most important thing in the beginning, right? Like, you don't want to be paired up with some crazy other white belt on your first trial mm-hmm. day,
yeah,
and they're just like going crazy on you, you're never coming back. So
yeah,
you know, I just try to scoop everybody up.
Yeah. Or being like, it's your first class and then we're in North South and you're with a guy, like, for your first class, that's like, no matter what, it's uncomfortable. And someone at your level, like, you're a purple belt and you compete, It's special to have someone that's like, hey, it's your first class and I'm going to help you make sure you're comfortable, because you're also like an athlete. You want to not skip warm-ups. You don't want to skip rounds or anything like that. But sometimes, like, for a new white belt to feel safe, it's like a little bit of a sacrifice. And that's what I'm really thankful for, like, that you do. Like, you were competing. The first time you and I rolled, you had a competition.
Oh, yeah. I was prepping for Nogi Worlds.
Yeah, and I remember, like, I was a white belt. I'm like, are you sure? Like, white belt, new. I'm going to try my best to be a great partner. But you were just like, oh, no, you're good. Just, I have a tournament coming up. And I felt like those moments are what reminds me of, like, how special the community and how we're supposed to be, how we're all trying to get better. And I was really thankful for that.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. That was actually a fun role.
Thank you.
We started standing, and I was like, I don't think I want to stand with her. I'm going to sit.
Oh, yeah, because when you have a wrestling background, mm-hmm. like sitting is so wrong and weird. And karate, you don't sit. So jiu-jitsu, like I'm learning how to pull guard or how to like be standing and then just take them down because I'm usually smaller. Like I don't really have much of a strategy, but it's like it's very different. What's your strategy?
I'm a top player, so I don't ever pull in tournaments. I'm a heavy pressure passer, but and Mason and some other of my coaches have a lot to do with that. Mm-hmm. But I really do need to learn to pull in case I'm in that last minute of my tournament and it's 0-0 and we're both still standing, because that has happened to me and it went to a ref's decision and I lost. But whoa. I know, it was very upsetting.
Yeah, I don't know those rules. Like soon. The tournament that I did, it was like submission. It was like they really did whatever they wanted in that tournament. But
I want to do one of those tournaments, and I will eventually, just because it's fun to be able to just go and not have to think about points.
Yeah, so I don't know points yet, and like I want to, but I also feel like in time I'll learn, but more so like strategies or what works.
I didn't start to develop my full game till I was a blue belt.
Okay, yeah. We're far from that. I think I'm
I don't know. You might be coming up on it, I feel like.
Well, it's a year for the blue belt. Sure.
It's a year to two. It just depends. I mean, there's people that have gotten it very quickly.
Okay.
But I feel like you train a lot. You wrestle. Wrestling kind of gives you an advantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've thought about it because I beat two blue belts at the tournament.
Yay.
And I was like, wait, that means like I'm not that bad, you know? But Coach Murph was like, stay the course, do the work, keep showing up, like, yep. You're good. And so I'm gonna just keep it at that. But
yeah, no rush. There's no rush. You're young.
Yeah, and being a white belt, it's like a precious stage to just be able to be a student, like the truest student of all belts. You just ask questions and learn, and you sitting in that humility is so beneficial. People want to teach you and you don't want to stop learning, and then your whole view on like getting the next belt, it's like I want to earn that, I want to know why I have this on me.
Yes, so that is actually the mentality I definitely had as a white belt. I was showing up every day. Some days I'd be the only person there. This was at a smaller gym in the city, and my coach was just like, best student, you're just here alone. And I'm like, I just want to learn and learn and learn. Dang. So
yeah, so for anyone listening, it's honest. It's an honest expression. I truly believe that everyone should do jiu-jitsu. I think that every woman should do jiu-jitsu, like for the sake of self-defense, for empowerment, for like women to acknowledge their strength. Like going against a man, yeah, they'll have different advantages, but if you learn proper technique, you'll be good.
Yes. Yes, yes. Also, if you have little girls, put them in jiu-jitsu early. And anyone that's gone through any sort of trauma, it's a very good, for women, but men too, a very good way to get your confidence back and just take your power back.
Mm-hmm. Have you met women like that, that have had like crazy reasons as to why they're doing it?
I have. And it's changed their life.
Mm-hmm. What kind of stories?
I mean, abusive relationships, just anxiety, mental health, you know, it's just, even, you know, men with PTSD, things like that, just being able to be in there. The community, one, is really helpful for a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
but also, again, it's just that, you know, taking your power back, being able to be in control of what's going on. You still might not be winning, but you're still in control for the most part of what's going on in front of you. And that's all you can think about. You're not going to be able to think about anything else going on in that moment because somebody is literally on you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And it's also the moments where you're like, you have to figure out to do something to get out. It's like somewhat euphoric because there's not a lot of moments where you feel so in tune with yourself. Like where all you have is you and all you can do is think of something to do. And it makes you realize like, yeah, you are in control. You do have strength. You do have a survival instinct that you can actually use and see in jiu-jitsu class. Like everyone talks about self-defense. I want to know how to protect myself, defend myself. Go to one class. There's nothing more real than being face-to-face with someone and just like till someone has to literally tap you, because otherwise something's going to break or they're going to pass out. There's nothing like it.
I mean, just learning to not panic when you have somebody maybe 50, 60, 100 pounds bigger than you on you.
Yes.
Is huge, because when you start to panic, your breathing gets erratic. Once your breathing gets erratic, you know, it's that whole adrenaline dump thing. So much that goes into learning how to train, competing, self-defense, all those things.
So I want to bring up the podcast that you were on, by your name was brought up on there.
I was not on it. My name was brought up.
Yeah, you were brought up on it. And yes. That's why I listened, so I could hear, you know, a little story about you. So this is a rare occasion, in my opinion, of like stories like this. But it's interesting. It's entertainment. So go ahead and explain what happened.
I was signed up to do the ADCC Open, the first one in September, the same weekend that the ADCC World was going on. I was very excited about it because I love Nogi. And there was one or two competitors in my bracket. When I woke up the next day, I saw that they had combined the adult and the master's division, and I was kind of confused as to why. Anyway, fast forward. After I competed that day, I get a message from one of my friends that lives in Minnesota saying, "Do you know this person? They are posting your Instagram on their social media saying you're a cheater and they got kicked out of the ADCC Open because of you." And I was like, what the hell? I have no idea who this person is.
Dang.
I see the name and I'm like, oh, wait, this was the person that was in my division but isn't there anymore. Still didn't think anything of it.
Did you guys compete?
We did not compete. They, their name wasn't in the bracket, which was one of the reasons why we were, the adult and the masters were combined, because then there was only two of us left. So they wanted us to all have multiple matches, or at least a bigger division. And then I was just basically in shock, didn't think anything of it. And then it was maybe a couple weeks later, I again get a message from the same friend saying that this person is on a podcast and they're speaking about me.
Dang.
Yes. So I'm like, what the hell is going on? This was probably 3 weeks after the tournament. I know. I had like put it behind
me.
And also that was the other thing. I was thinking, why is this woman bashing me? Like, I didn't do anything wrong to her. And then I start to watch the podcast, and in this podcast it comes out that this person is transgender, so really a biological male competing in the women's division. Of course I was shocked, and then things kind of started to make sense, and I was like, is that the reason why this person was pulled out of the division? But it was pretty crazy. I've never been slandered like that. I was being accused of being a cheater, being on steroids.
What a compliment, though.
I'm just a master's blue belt and being accused of all these things, but
Dang. Yes. Okay, that makes more sense. That's even crazier if you guys didn't compete and she kind of like put it on you that's why she got kicked out.
Yes, she did. Yeah. She was emailing the organization telling them that I was a cheater and that I shouldn't be allowed to compete because I had a little over 3 years of training, which the beginner division was 0 to 3 years, but obviously there was some gaps with COVID and people weren't training like they would normally be. And then in that moment, I'm thinking, I'm the cheater. You have natural testosterone in your body. You're coming in to fight women. And this person was 10 years younger than me. So,
jeez.
Yeah. So I'm like, none of it made sense. I was just feeling super sad that the whole thing happened and just worried, you know, because they were slandering my professor as well, which, you know, never is a good thing. But when I told him about it, I was like, I just want to let you know this happened. And, you know, he said, Laura, you just keep doing what you're doing. He's like, I don't give a crap about what people are saying out there. If I did, you know, Professor Kyle has always had some haters, but
dang.
So yeah, it was a wild story.
And that's pretty abnormal, right?
Having a transgender person in your division?
To me that's abnormal, but I mean, like, the drama, like, kind of coming back at competitors, because I don't I don't know too much, like, jiu-jitsu podcasts either. I don't know if it's normal to talk about, like, your competitor and go into all that, or if that was just...
I mean, I think that at a high level, it's a little bit part of the marketing and the game and, you know, but I am not high level. Yes, I compete. Yes, I've won, you know, worlds at a master's level, but to go that far out of your way to make a stink about somebody in a beginner division, beginner master's division, was mind-blowing. So I would say no.
Yeah. And I think, like, fighting community is pretty fair in their beliefs of, like, trying to prevent that from happening to keep things fair. Because, like, I'm pretty sure, I don't think his say went far enough, because it's happened before, but Dana White doesn't think that biological women trying to be men, or biological men trying to be women, should be able to fight women.
No, they shouldn't.
There's, like, yeah, like, there's just the sports. No.
Yes.
Not the sports.
I agree. Not the sports.
Yeah. And it seems like that kind of has trickled down to the rest of, like, the fighting community that see it like that. But I know there's, like, cases where they kind of escape it, but those are weird things that we're not allowed to have an opinion on, because it's offensive. But it is interesting to see how the world will evolve with, like, you know, sports with biological men going against women.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm actually just curious how they even found out, like, the organization, because they didn't allow her to compete because of that. And I don't know how they even found out, but they were very strongly against women competing against biological males. And Mo, the organizer for ADCC, has made that clear multiple times that he will never allow it. So it's good to know that you can feel safe in that that organization's tournaments.
That's very true. I would feel so blindsided if I was like...
I know.
No.
Or if I did and they hurt me and then it came out after.
Yeah.
That would just be awful.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I actually had a podcast with Suave. And that's his Instagram. Suave MMA. And his name is Nolan. But he used to be a professional fighter. And now he's like... really wants to bring up this conversation to kind of, like, promote truth, like a general truth, and just saying, like, the pros and cons of that lifestyle. But the big thing is, as a fighter, there's some things, like, that can't be a thing. Like, that's just too unfair.
Too unfair.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe their own organization?
Yeah, I think Joe Rogan suggested that. Because when everything was coming out where that was, like, trying to be more normalized... which I'm personally, like, doesn't make logical sense to me. They said that, like, there should be women, men, and then everyone else, which still doesn't seem fair, because there's going to be girls and biological girls, biological men. That's not fair for one having more testosterone.
And, yeah.
But I guess there's pills for that.
Especially depending where you are in your transition.
Yeah.
Right? If you're in the beginning, you're still... very full of testosterone versus maybe somebody that's way further along and has started pulling that out.
You know what? Now I'm actually very interested. What if they did get, like, a transitioning man to a female and a transitioning female to a man?
It's even hard to say.
It doesn't, yeah. But, like, you know, to see if the hormone pills could ever match up for a fair fight. Like, full on, even boxing or something where strength is tested. Because, again, I don't think it makes sense. I just think that you, like, there's certain facts you can't go against, and your genetic makeup, your gender you were born with, it's kind of, like, unescapable. But if we're going to live in a world where we're going to pretend it's a thing, then, like, they should create a division for
I
that.
I feel like that will happen at some point.
That would be entertaining, honestly.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. May the odds be in their favor, because that would be straight up entertainment. But that is interesting.
Yes, it was. It was definitely an experience. You know, I'm somebody that celebrates people and jujitsu and women in jujitsu, and, you know, even a trans person if they're doing the right thing. But to just all of a sudden see your name being slandered on a podcast that has a pretty decent amount of followers was shocking.
Yeah. And it's good you, like, have that empowering mentality about it of, like, it's fine. You did what you did. You, like, stood in your character and your truth and, like, even talked to your professors. Because at the end of the day, everyone's always going to slander as soon as they can. Talk crap as soon as they can. It's like it's an honest human craving to talk crap about people. Like, that's why people do it so much. It's like it's something in us gets satisfied, maybe because it empowers us. It makes us feel bigger to put someone down. But it seems like you get that. So you're just like, ah! Like, it was entertainment.
It was entertainment. Thank you for watching.
I was babysitting two kids. I wasn't
expecting you to tell me you watched the whole thing because it was long.
Well, I misinterpreted a couple things because I thought that you did go against this person. And because that made sense to me if they got kicked out after you beat them. Because if that's not the case, then, like, you were literally just someone they chose to pinpoint as the wrong person.
They went immediately when I signed up. They went and researched me. And then saw that I had started in 2018. Yeah, 2018. Mm-hmm. And immediate was like, they've been training for 4 years. I mean, COVID was what, 2019 or 2020 to 2022? It was like a big gap.
Yeah.
And they are like, oh, you know, just because they took time off doesn't mean they haven't been training for 4 years. I'm like, actually, it's the opposite. What if I started when I was 15, took 10 years off and went back? Are you saying I still have that training? No, I don't.
And for being, if anything, like around like a year range off, what's the difference? Like, it's nothing.
It was just months too. It wasn't.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, we were all blue belts. It wasn't like I'm purple belt trying to go into the beginner division. We were all, every single person in the division was a blue belt. So, wild.
Yeah, I don't know about any of that because, again, like, my tournament was so different. But I don't know that, I didn't know that there was time range, how long you've been doing it, weight range. I just thought it was.
Depends on the organization. So for ADCC, they do beginner, intermediate, advanced, and there's time range. But for IBJJF, it's adult, which is 18 to 29. And then master starts from 30 up. So master's 1, 30 to 35. Master's 2, 35 to 40.
So what's the tournament June 17th?
June 17th.
Yeah, or like the end of June.
I'm not doing a tournament.
Okay. Because I know there's one happening in, like, Fremont or San Jose, and I don't know what kind of rules they
have. Jiu-Jitsu battle or... No.
If it was that one, would it be age or...
If it's one of those, it's going to be age. Age, weight. You can do it?
Yeah.
Yay. I'll come.
Okay. That's if you. I don't have a podcast or... Like, something like that.
You should. You should start jumping into these local tournaments and testing yourself. I see big things for you in the jiu-jitsu community. I feel like you can compete on the big stage at some point and maybe bring home that blue belt world no-gi title.
Okay. I mean, I'm down. I love it so much, and I'm just like, you know, if you say it, then I'll try it. If Coach Murph tells me I'm ready, then I'll do it. But sometimes it's hard because I don't get enough practice time right now, you know? Like, you do 6 classes a week. I barely hit 3 to 4 right now. And right, so it makes me feel a little self-conscious about competing if I'm not fully, like, trained. But
well, the 3 to 4 is completely fine for these small local tournaments. If you were going to do a major, which is World, Pans, any of those, definitely would take a little more commitment just because there's so much to wrap your brain around. But I believe in you.
Thank you. I'm gonna do it. I'll get into it again.
And I'm here to help.
Yeah, I really feel that. I feel that support, and I will let you know when I do it. I this is kind of a random question, but would you ever be interested in leading like a self-defense class, program, community, or course?
You know, I've thought about that. Obviously, I'm a new purple belt, and I feel like I still feel like I have so much to learn. I feel like I don't have like everything it takes to maybe teach something like that. But if I partnered with somebody, you know, maybe a black belt at my gym, or, you know, somebody of a higher level, I definitely think I'd be interested in doing something like that.
Mm-hmm. Because it seems like there's so much of a need for that right now. And like, in my eyes, women in community, it's like under attack. It's so rare to see women want to support each other, want to love on each other, and see each other win. Especially with something like jiu-jitsu, where naturally, like, you're going face to face. There's maybe sometimes tension when you're going, you know, hard with someone. Yeah. But like, I genuinely believe that you have that skill to create community, to have like a safe place for a woman. Because I don't know, is it just me, or do you see how like it's hard to see women groups these days?
Women, can you elaborate? What do you mean?
Well, I don't see like women gathering like they used to, and maybe that's social media.
I would agree with that. I mean, I feel like there's a lot more, not necessarily not in the jiu-jitsu community in general. I mean, it's just that whole like everyone's always comparing, comparing, and I think you're right. Like people start to want to say bad things, and because whatever is feeding the ego. But again, jiu-jitsu humbles you and helps you control the ego, and helps you, brings you back down. So I've thought a lot about more of like mentorships for women in jiu-jitsu, and also healing, you know, helping women heal through jiu-jitsu. Those are the kind of things that have crossed my mind more so than like a self-defense class.
Because that's where like the healing comes from, you know, like you can do jiu-jitsu, but there's like the things on our minds and on our hearts, and like the traumas that a lot of women have faced also. Like, I'm heartbroken at the fact that I've like met and heard more and like really observed the fact that a lot of women have been like had their power taken away, have been in experiences where they feel like they don't have control, and they find things like jiu-jitsu that could empower them. But then there's like the whole element of like, dang, I'm feeling all these good things, but like I don't even know how to talk about it. I'm just gonna keep going. So like, I love the idea of mentorship, or just like verbalizing whatever is healing when you do something like this art.
It is an art.
So what was it like living in Panama?
I mean, that was my normal. So the United States was the foreign country to me.
How did you view the United States when you were there?
It was exciting because there was cable and big malls and variety of like all these things. I had one channel that maybe came in. Jeez. We were renting like betas and VHS from people that would have their family members in the United States record all the shows and then send, and they would run these beta clubs out of their house. So we'd go and we'd check out like TV series shows, and that's how we would watch our shows in Panama. So then when we'd come to the United States, it was like, everything's on TV and there's an A and a B side. This is so exciting.
Oh my gosh.
You know, and I mean, I loved it there. We grew up without that stuff. We were just outside, literally running through the jungle in the rain and playing outside. And it was just a whole thing. Dang. It was amazing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until I moved to the United States that I really like even saw like racism and things like that. Cause everyone in Panama was from somewhere else. Cause at the time, the United States still owned the canal, so there was a ton of military there. Mm-hmm. And plus, Panamanians are every color.
Oh, really?
Every color of the rainbow, just because Panama had so many different people come in to try to help build the canal.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. And your dad was also involved in that?
He was not involved in building, but he was an engineer for the Panama Canal.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's wild.
Yeah, it was the best experience. I haven't been back or experienced Panama as an adult. Obviously, it's probably completely different. Mm-hmm. but one day I'll make it back.
Mm-hmm. Have you been to Paraguay?
No, I've not been to South America.
Wait, where's Panama?
Central America.
Oh, I don't know why I imagined it. Oh, I'm thinking of Peru. Peru's in South America. Panama's in. Yeah, it's really cool, like, when you get an opportunity to travel outside of America. Because you really realize, like, even though we have everything, we kind of miss the mark. Like, we literally have everything, yet we're not happy. A lot of people struggle with mental health, and, like, you said it. It was, like, being able to be outside, being together, finding joy in the little things, like going to someone's house to watch TV. Like, people, nature, and movement. That's kind of all we need, and we see very minimum here in America.
I know, everybody's go, 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 go. Mm-hmm. All the time. Mm-hmm. A lot of the hustle culture, which I'm 100% guilty of, but now that I'm older, I'm starting to wind it back.
So yeah, you've been in the Bay Area for like how long?
Over 20 years now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've been in the Bay Area for over 20 years. And you haven't found a way to escape the rush?
I mean, it's hard when it's so expensive to live here. You know, you're constantly, like, playing catch-up, I feel like. Mm-hmm. But, and I was in nightlife, like, entertainment, hospitality for many, many years, which
is... Like serving or bartending?
Serving, started off as serving, bartending... I was a GM. Mm-hmm. I was a promoter. I threw large parties. And that's a crazy hustle life as it is. I'm still in hospitality, but now I'm in corporate dining, so it's nice.
Ooh, that's nice.
Yeah, so I have weekends and nights off and holidays, which is now I finally have balance. Mm-hmm. And I can, you know, much more calm and not going a million miles a minute.
How did you find that?
The switch?
The balance.
Oh, just being, not working that crazy schedule. You don't really have days off. You work every holiday. I sacrificed a lot of social events, birthdays, because I was always the one working. Mm. You know, you don't get the weekends or nights off. You don't get New Year's off. You don't get, you know, all the time that people normally get off to mm-hmm. be with family or relax. It's the opposite in that industry. Mm-hmm. You're working those days because you're supplying the entertainment for the people that are off and want to be out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I loved it for many years. I just wish that I maybe got out a little bit sooner, but can't go back now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I truly believe we can create the life that we want however we want it. But being in the Bay Area, it's kind of hard to have, like you said, your own space and still be sane because you have to make so much money just to sleep, just to be here. So I'm like, how could I find rest? Like, I don't, have you noticed my eyes been twitching?
No. Are you not rested?
I have a hard time, like, getting enough sleep. I'm working on it. But it's like that Bay Area rush, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know how to rest. And I'm, like, acknowledging the fact that I've never really been good at resting, but without it, like, jiu-jitsu will end up, you know, it'll show in jiu-jitsu. I won't be showing up my best, and then my health will deteriorate. But that's just kind of how I feel like it is here, unless, you know, I find a way to hack the system. But even you say it's, like, maybe...
You're acknowledging it now. I would have never said that 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. I would have just been like, let's go.
Yeah, you
know, let's do it. I was like doing all that. I had side things going on. I was still training, not jiu-jitsu, but I was still training with a trainer and, you know, all that mm-hmm. 5 days a week. And I just felt invincible.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing, though. Like, when you're in your 20s, I feel like that's when you kind of like test your limits. And then after, you have to start realizing that certain things are worth the sacrifice. Like, I'm trying to convince myself now that it's worth it to sleep. But I'm not convinced.
It's so worth it to sleep.
I'm not convinced. Like, I need to read a book about it because, like, everyone tells me that, but I'm not there. But, like, that's the truth. Like, there's no wrong way to live. There's no wrong way to do anything. There's just certain things that are proven to be better than others. Like, and I'm learning, one is sleep, eating healthy, and working out. And, like, cultivating community.
Well, you're doing really well on a lot of those things, so don't be so hard on yourself. The sleep will come. You'll prioritize it when the time is right for you.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, that's my plan. But yeah, like I also see it as like because we're always working so much, it's hard to have that downtime to connect with new people. You know, like I have found so many friends through jiu-jitsu, but that's because we're training. Like, where do people find rest in each other's presence? Or, like, get to hang out and, like, pick each other's brain, learn each other's lifestyle and opinions and perspectives? Like, doing something like a podcast makes sense for me because I love getting to know people and learning. And it's, like, kind of like a win-win for me just to kind of sit down and have it documented and all that. But, like, I want to find a way to create a space where people like you, like ambitious, like-minded, not victim mentality, but just like wants to see each other win in a space just to see what happens.
I think you're onto something.
I hope so. I mean, every like person that I feel that energy with, I'll tell them that we're going to plan something.
Yes, the problem is we say that, right? We're like, we should plan this. We should plan this. Let's do this. Mm-hmm. We should get together and do this. And then it's actually like making it happen. That's the hard part.
Yeah.
Getting everyone to commit to it. But once you, when you can and you do it, you leave there and you feel so good about it. So mm-hmm. it's just about us like really making the efforts.
Mm-hmm. But you'd be convinced that like that's like a necessity right now.
I think so. I mean, it's, man. It's a rough world out there right now.
That's what I feel. Like, it's a rough world. And then I meet people like you where I'm like, you need to be around these people because they need help. Or just like, where is like the wisdom, your wisdom, different people's wisdom? Where does it get to chill and just like spill out, you know? Because like, I don't think that there's another way for like humanity to get better until we come together and start like being there for each other.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a tough one.
Yeah. That's why like a big point of this podcast is to cultivate community, and especially for women. Like,
I love that.
Yeah, it'll happen. Mm-hmm. So, what is your dream with all of this? What is your dream with jiu-jitsu?
Man, I didn't really have any dreams going in. I just wanted to be good. I wanted to be good. I was committed to being good. I used to tell Mason, you know, I know I'll never be, because I started training with Mason when I was a 2-stripe white belt. Wow. Yeah.
This in Fresno?
This was here. It was over COVID. Right before COVID, I was doing my first white belt tournament. I stopped into CTA and did a drop-in.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually wasn't even supposed to be teaching the class. He was filling in for someone, and that's where we originally met. And that was 2019, so then COVID happened, and I was following him on Instagram, and he had posted, you know, if anybody is interested in privates, let me know. And I was like, I'm definitely interested in privates, because jiu-jitsu had stopped at, you know, I was like, because it was the beginning of COVID, and I was like, perfect, I can do privates with somebody that's really good. He loves no-gi, I love no-gi,
mm-hmm.
and so I was training with him privates for like, I mean, I still do, but pretty consistently, I want to say for like a year and a half or 2 years. Yeah. And I just said, I would tell him, I'm like, I know I'll never be a world champion, but I just want to train like one. I just want to be good. I want to know what I'm doing. I want to like people to see my jiu-jitsu and mm-hmm. be like, this person's really good.
Yeah.
Especially for her age. And I didn't have a concept of worlds, like IBJJF worlds, master worlds. I had just recently got my blue belt when I had done that tournament. Damn. And yeah, I was like, I'm going to do this tournament. It was like the first one.
Where was it?
It was in Dallas in 2021. Wow. And I was maybe like a 7-month-old blue belt. I had been at CTA for just a few months, 4 months or something. Mason's the one that got me to sign up at CTA. And I just was like, I'm going to do this tournament. I just want to go compete in Nogi and have fun. And then when I won, everyone's like, you just won Worlds. And I was like, what? I'm like, Worlds? I just won? Like, no, you just won Worlds. Like, this is, you are the best at your level in your age group in the world.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was like, holy crap, this is crazy. And, you know, and that moment was like, I'm a world champion. You know, now I want to do it again. And so then I did Master Worlds, which is in the Gi, and I won that.
Dang.
And so obviously the accolades aren't as important to me. What I love and in jiu-jitsu really is that that 6 week fight camp leading up to the competition. Just
what does that consist of?
Just the like the hard training, the focus, the mindset, like the grind, the diet, the sleep, like everything has to be on point leading up to that competition. For the majors, I wouldn't say like it's like that for if you're gonna jump in a local tournament. Mm-hmm. But I thrive in that. But my dream for jiu-jitsu is to continue to compete at a high level. Dang. In my age and even in adult, you know, even challenging myself in the adult division. There's a woman, her name's Amanda Magda, and she's my age, and she won Europeans as a black belt in the adult division, which is huge.
Wow.
I know. So I'm inspired by things like that. I want to be able to show not just all women, but older women that it's okay to start something new, even mm-hmm. In your 40s. Mm-hmm. You can still compete. You can still be an athlete.
Yeah.
You can still be strong. You can still win.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. I had no idea that, like, Worlds literally meant Worlds.
I didn't either.
That's crazy. What an honor. I have a world champ on my podcast. That's so cool. So in America, it's kind of like normal to travel for these tournaments.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think for IBJJF, you're constantly going to be traveling, whether it's within the United States or to Brazil, to Europe, to Asia.
That's cool.
I mean, it gets expensive. It's an expensive sport. Yeah. It can be when you get to want to start doing that. But, you know, it's a treat. It's a treat to go out with your teammates and, you know, just see that support. Everybody's at your mat mm-hmm. when you're about to come out, just cheering you on.
Yeah,
it's exciting.
Yeah, it really is. And you don't really get to see that kind of love till you do a competition like that. You know, I honestly didn't think it was a thing to do competitions after high school or college, because that's all I've ever seen unless you go pro. So like that was also stopping me from like starting jiu-jitsu or competing, because I'm like, where do we compete? If in my mind it wasn't a thing.
The sport is growing.
It's
so fast.
Huge. Yeah.
Even since I started 4 years ago, I'm like, there's tournaments everywhere. There's super fight tournaments. There's, you know, these smaller local tournaments that follow IBJJF rules. There's EBI tournaments. It's insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like still learning. But it seems like there's always one. I'm like, I'll go to the next one. Oh, it's in 2 weeks. And I'm like, oh, wow. Like, yeah. I did not realize that they were that often.
You just need to jump in and do it.
Okay, fine. I will. What would you tell someone, a female, that is intimidated to start jiu-jitsu but kind of wants to? Maybe a little frail and dainty and kind of intimidated to be the only
female. I would probably tell them the story about my Professor Kayo, being about his mom putting him into jiu-jitsu when he was 16 because he was so little. And yeah, and he hated it for so long, but he was going because she wanted him to go. And then he's a 12-time world champion now, and dang, one of the biggest names in the sport that, you know, is. So I would say that the sport is for every size, mm-hmm. shape, And in fact, there's plenty of girls her size that can submit men that are double her size.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that it is a commitment. It's not something you can do once a week and get better at.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also say, let me take you to a class and I will be your partner and I will get you through it.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Because you're a world champ.
Master world champ.
Master world champ. I have to put
that in front of it.
Yes.
There is a difference between the adult and the master's
mm-hmm.
group.
What's the difference?
Just, you know, age. Because master's is 30 and up.
Oh, okay.
And then adult. Adult is you.
Oh.
Adult, some of them have been training since they were
sound like
5 years old.
Wait, so I could go against someone that's like 29?
Yeah.
Hmm. That's
or 45 strange. That jumps into the adult division.
Whoa.
So you can go down in age, but you can't go up in age. So you couldn't jump into the master's division.
Okay. Okay, that's actually really cool. And that's like the principle too. Like size doesn't matter.
Age doesn't matter.
Age doesn't matter.
Size doesn't matter. Strength actually does matter some, but not all the time.
Yes. Gender does matter.
Gender
does going matter. Against girls,
yes.
Depending and on how you were born.
If you're out just in the training mat, that's one thing. But in competition.
That's true.
Yeah. You should.
Just to specify.
Let's just make that clear. You're transgender and you want to just come train.
That's okay.
In a class. No worries.
But if they wanted to compete and they're biological male, they go male division even though they look like a girl?
I mean, I would say yes.
Interesting. Okay, that's cool. Good to know.
Yeah, I would say if you're born a male, then compete with the males.
Yeah, that's fair because you can look however you want, be with whoever you want, but competitions, just keep it science. Keep it fast.
Especially a combat sport. I mean, we literally... It's joint manipulation and chokes.
Yeah.
You can really hurt someone.
Oh, yeah. There's that. Oh, and then there's the story of the person that was, I think, in the Olympics and got, like, second to a biological male.
Was that the swimmer?
The swimmer.
Oh, so the person on the podcast, did you see them reference that person? Because the guy...
Maybe that's why I know about it, because the last podcast I did, the guy was telling me about it.
Yeah, the guy that was interviewing the person I was supposed to go against brought that person up, and they lost it. They ended up hanging up on the guy.
Yeah. Oh, dang. So it's the same person?
That I was supposed to compete against? No. They were just defending.
The swimmer.
They were defending the swimmer, saying that it was... That he was a she and it was okay for them to compete against the other women.
Mm. Yeah, this is why it's a weird time to be alive and us real women need each other just to be ourselves and just be empowered and encourage each other in normal ways.
And I'm also happy to help a transgender person enter jiu-jitsu as well and learn. Because maybe they need to take their power back, or maybe they're going through some mental health stuff.
Yeah.
I just don't want to compete against them.
Yeah, I think that's really respectable. Like, the principle is everyone should do it. Like, there's so much healing. Weird how deep the healing is.
It's insane.
Mm-hmm.
It really is insane.
Yeah.
But I'm really glad that you found it and it helped you.
Yeah, like, I have loyalty to it because, like, I don't like to use words like depression or anxiety because I know people experience that in a very severe and dark way. But like for my experience, for what I've known to be as depression, jiu-jitsu got me out of it. There was nothing that I tried so many things. I tried to do things the right way to just get out of that funk. But it was jiu-jitsu. It was like all of a sudden I had purpose, ambition, the desire to get better. And like that's why it's so important to have like you share your story, different jiu-jitsu competitors to share like what's working for them. It just so happens to be that a lot of us athletes have like a better outlook on life. We carry ourselves with more confidence. We have like purpose, even if it's at 6 p.m. at night every day and that's it. But it's like it's very healing, and like healing is the big element that we're all seeking and needing.
More women in jiu-jitsu. Join us.
Yes. Join us. And you'll probably be ending up teaching girls' classes, huh?
I would love to teach a women's class at some point. Again, mm-hmm. I still feel, I mean, I study a lot, mm-hmm. not just training, but I like study jujitsu a lot.
Are we supposed to do that?
Yes.
Okay. Follow some yes. Instagram stuff.
My gym has its own curriculum, and professors always evolving that curriculum. So we're really fortunate in that way. His brain is...
This is Cairo Terra?
Cairo Terra, yeah.
He looks very young.
He does. He's in his 30s, mid-30s.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah, but he does look really young.
Yeah, he looks young, and like that gym's so well-known in the Bay Area, so it's like, how'd you do that?
He's done amazing things in the sport, so I think his name has just carried him through, and he has, you know... some of the best coaches in the world, mm-hmm. Mason, you know, I, my main coach is Gabriel Marangoni, who is mm-hmm. an amazing, amazing jiu-jitsu athlete. I'm very honored to also call my mentor, mm-hmm. and then amazing strength coaches. You know, I train under Tyler Hsu, and there's just everything you need right there. So I think that's...
I have never heard of Tyler Hsu. Is he a jiu-jitsu coach?
He is a competitor. He's actually going to be doing Worlds this next week. Or this week, sorry. Worlds is this week.
Where?
In Long Beach.
Oh.
Adult Worlds, yeah. He's a brown belt under Professor Kayo, and he's really good. Dang. But yeah, he's my strength coach, strength and conditioning coach.
Does your gym have a... like a strength facility space?
It does. It has a whole
gym. I've seen your post on that. I was kind of curious where you were, but it's your jiu-jitsu gym.
Yeah, so one half is just full lifting, weights, cardio, mm-hmm. and then the other half is huge space, which I'm hoping that you come check out sometime.
Okay.
When are you gonna come join us?
I kind of have been out of my jiu-jitsu zone. My loyalty is still there, but it's more like figuring different things out, and so now that I'm like trying to go back to 3 to 4 times a week, I do privates for jiu-jitsu.
Oh yay.
Mm-hmm.
With Murph?
No, I do boxing with Murph actually, and then I do privates with my friend Cass, and we're small, like we kind of need extra help to know like some little hacks we can use with our short little legs, but we go with Coach Alex. And Coach Alex and Coach Murph, they're like best friends.
Gotcha.
So they'll teach classes together. And then Murph, he teaches my classes in the evening. And then we'll do boxing. So.
The good thing is, another good thing about jiu-jitsu, are the mats are always there. So, you know, life happens. And sometimes it pulls you away from the mat.
Mm-hmm.
You don't ever forget about it or you still miss it. But you can always go back, and no one can ever take away anything you ever learned in jiu-jitsu from you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
A year from now, decide you need to take a year off. You still are walking away with everything you've learned over the past, you know.
Yeah, years. And I love that because, like, so I've seen wrestling, and wrestling's like, you don't skip or you're a bitch. Like, if you have an injury, you show up and you sit there. And it's like, that's the style I've seen. So I was like, no, none of that. But that's why I love jiu-jitsu, because that is a principle. Like, mental reps when you're injured. Like, if you leave, you always kind of come back to it. And so as I've had time off, it's been so refreshing to go back to missing it but not feel guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, now it's time to get things back into gear, fix my sleep, and then just train. So
I love that. Just train.
Yes. The way of life. Best kind of lifestyle. Well... I'll ask you one last question for our time here today. What is your advice for someone with the life that you lived, experiences you've had, to elevate their life?
That's a good question.
Thanks.
I would say stay positive. Build a strong mindset. I think mm-hmm. especially with everything happening around us all the time, and everything mm-hmm. on Instagram, and everything just... flying around in the air. Stay true to yourself. Focus on that mindset. You can't control everything. It's okay. And also, your expectations are your own, and so you shouldn't expect anyone to live up to them.
Mm-hmm.
Just be present in you.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Well, thank you so much for finally making this happen. Like, we've been waiting. Yay,
thank you so much.
Yeah, so again, this is Laura Lipman. What's your Instagram?
Beats Boutique.
Beats Boutique.
Yes. BeatsBoutique. Beats Boutique.
Okay. And I will say this because she said it, so I'm repeating her. It is rare for someone to invite you to like walk you through a class. So you said it. Take her up. If you're a female interested, Cairo Tarot's Palo Alto?
We have a gym in Palo Alto. We also have one in San Jose.
Really? Mm-hmm. Where?
San Jose's headquarters, and that's on Park and Sunol.
Interesting. Am I saying Cairo Tarot wrong?
Cairo Tarot is fine.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
The R's in Brazil are said as H's, but everyone says Cairo Tarot.
Okay, yeah. Well, I want to be, you know, Brazilian mindful, so I'm going to work on that. Hit her up if you want to take a class with her. It will change your life. And it's just kind of nice to have someone to assist you, because that's, I feel like, a big reason why no one will try it out, because it's, you're so alone. So it's very nice.
One more thing on that, actually. Mm-hmm. If you, for the new ones, new females or males that want to start jiu-jitsu, it is good to try to find somebody that can kind of stick by your side and mentor you. And having somebody, especially if you want to be a competitor, for me, like my coach Gabriel, having somebody that believes in you more than you believe in yourself sometimes is huge. You know, it helps keep the drive going, keep the mindset strong, keep that just, you know, moving forward.
That's awesome. I like that. I would like one. Wait, you're my jiu-jitsu mentor now.
I'm here for you.
Thank you so much. Well, again, thank you for my time here, guys. Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much.
Keep elevating your life and have a lovely day. Goodbye.